Elena has been just dying to open us up in prayer. Amen. Thank you. So what if in our Christian life, our Christian walk, that it came with a checklist, a recipe of sorts, you know, spouting out exactly what we need in order to be a good Christian? Nicholas. Well, this is just a perhaps. So what if it was a overall, a thing, you know, right there, a daily thing, daily to overall. So that would cover the daily also. So maybe it would go something like this, you know, 2 cups of God. You know, I could probably read a verse a day, right? We could probably sacrifice, read a verse a day, you know, pray before meals, right? Always pray for meals. You know, go to church on Sunday. Never miss a Sunday, you know, regarding as a Sabbath. You know, maybe a Wednesday, if Gary's not teaching, I'll go to that, right? Maybe. But that. And then maybe a tablespoon of obeying parents. Now, only a tablespoon because we don't want to overdo it, right? They're parents. You know, maybe 2 hours or an hour, because Saturday's our day, right, to be us and relax, right? A tablespoon of obeying other authority. You know, sometimes we have to, right? If we don't get caught, we're not disobeying, are we? right, maybe. or a half a tablespoon of encouragement. Maybe we have to encourage 4 people a day. I know some of you are thinking, I only like 3 people at school. Maybe just give a thumbs up to some random person. But not here. But so if we were in another part of the world, it'd be something else. You know, it'd be a little fist, right? Or something, I don't know. I don't know what'd be the proper thing. Maybe it's a hi, everybody does a wave. You know, maybe it's like this, or maybe it's like that. I don't know. But maybe it's a wave. You know, but maybe 3/4 teaspoon of forgiveness. Probably should have a little bit more forgiveness than that. Maybe do a whole cup, right? Whole cup of forgiveness. A teaspoon of humility. Is there anything else what should be in that ingredients? That list of things we have to do. Yes. 8 cups of love. I love it. Loving others, right? 8 cups. That's huge. So we put all that into a bowl and we're mixing it up, right? Now, who... And then you bake it for 475, right? At least 15 minutes. Chow it down. Who's ever tried to cook their favorite or bake their favorite dish? So what was it? Chicken Alfredo. Nice, I like that. Did it go well? Oh, okay. No, you didn't have your hand raised? No. You did what? Nice. That's tricky. Little bit of milk. You have to get the right amount. No, what was it? Tacos? I love tacos. I could actually make tacos. Huh? Brownies. Nice. Did you guys raise your... You've never... Oh, you guys need to, before you go off into... Mac and cheese, but like the real mac and cheese, right? Oh, like the Kraft? Actually, I've screwed that up many of times. That sounds delicious. Brendan, I know you have. Maybe your favorite dish back a couple years ago, or a year ago. Salmon? Salmon. All healthy and all. Now, as we know, so did everything turn out great the first time? Of course. But recipes, if you've done it more than once, recipes, sometimes, however slightly, sometimes you could follow it exactly or you think it's exactly, but it doesn't come out the exact same, right? You know, there's variations. Maybe it's weather. It's crazy. Weather will affect, especially baking. Weather affects baking. There's the variations in ingredients. You know, this pepper hotter than that pepper are a different type of Alfredo sauce to the one you use first. So it's a little bit different. There's slight differences, but there is differences. And then the temperature of your oven. You know, because there's electric heat and there's gas heat. And it cooks things a little bit different. And then if your thermostat's a little off, you know, it could be a little variations. Plus, the term good is in the taste buds of the eater, correct? Because things like black olives might taste just delicious to my wife, but this is exactly nice. See? Everybody, that's why we're sitting on this side, honey, because we don't like that stuff. But so it's definitely different, right? It's definitely different. So what does it take to be a good Christian? Because everything in that bowl was a good thing, right? Every ingredient was a good thing to have. But the problem with checklists is that our human nature, is we just want to go exactly just to do it, right? Most of the time, there are some overachievers, you know, but most of the time, if say, you have your high school recommendations for the high school diploma, or even your college diploma, or college, credited diploma, you know, you just want to go just enough. You don't want to work too hard, right? Ah, that's crazy. You're not getting anything out of it. So that's our human nature. Some people do go for it, but our human nature typically is just to do enough. In John, let's turn to John. It's towards the back of three quarters of the Bible. John chapter 15. John 15, verse numero uno. And Caleb, can you read that? Yeah, 15, verse 1. Okay, so really long verse. That's one of those verses we could probably do once a day, right? But actually, that tells us a lot. Now, there's quite a few Bibles out there, but they'll have it in red. And we all know when the lettering or the text is in red, what does it mean? It's said by Jesus. It's said by Jesus actually saying it. You know, he's speaking these words in person. So Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now, though there might be a ton of different religions, right? There's a lot of different religions out there. They spout up different ones. There's actually even a Jedi religion, you know, from the movies. It's officially a religion, I guess, somewhere over in Britain. But There's a ton of different religions, but Jesus is the one true God. That's what he's saying. He's the one true God. Now, have we ever seen a bunch of little trees around a big tree, right? Growing up around the big tree. Now, those are called shoots. I don't know why they're called shoots, but they're called shoots because they're coming off that big tree, and they're actually branches, but they're underground, and they shoot up out of the ground. That's why they're called shoots. Now, the main shoot, you know, we could kind of picture that as maybe the trunk or the main stem of a vine or a tree that would be the trunk line, right? That is the main shoot. Now, the main shoot determines the growth of the whole plant. The whole plant. So he's in charge of the whole plant, leaning it upward towards the sun. You know, the plant deciding where the nourishment is growing, where the growth is going to go, is all decided by that main shoot. Now, we've all known that, you know, plants, by trimming plants, they get better, or it helps them. But they've just kind of figured this out, or they've just shown that why that main shoot has that power. And why that is pretty much simply, it was the first. It was the first shoot, so it has that power. Now, Jesus is that first shoot. You know, we could think of Jesus, oh, well, he doesn't come until halfway through the Bible, right? But no, he was there at the beginning. Jesus is God, and he is the beginning. All throughout the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus. It you know, it prophesizes about Jesus. And actually, there are appearances that are Christophanies. I said it completely wrong, but that's just a term meaning that appearances by Jesus. There are some that, you know, theologians have this, and it's his title is the angel of the Lord, but they're specific. It's not all the angels, but there's a specific angel what they title, and that is that the theologians have figured that is Jesus in person, you know, showing peace or appearing to people. So Jesus is the beginning. He was always there. Always there. He's always beginning. So we need to remember that. Now the second part of the verse is, my Father is the vine dresser. Now no, this isn't a person who put clothes on plants, right? This is a person. It's more or less what we would call a gardener, right? You know, one who cares for the plant, you know, gives it what it needs. You know, God is the Father, and he makes sure the plant is healthy. All right, we're back in John 15, 2 through 3. Connor. So pruning, it sounds, you know, kind of harsh, or it sounds like a bitter juice what keeps you regular. One of those two, right? So, but what pruning actually means is cleaning, to clean. You know, I remember there was a time, long time ago, when me and Michelle were just married. We just had our house, and I planted a tree in our front yard. Now, our tree was pre-brown. It's still pre-brown because I don't have a green thumb. But it was nice to have some green in it, right? It was nice, and it was going. It'd be the next year, and there's all these little shoots coming out next to it. And I went, and I started cutting them down, and Michelle was upset because I was taking away the green from that tree, right? And I was, because there, you know, there's leaves, and it looked nice because it was green, but as I've already said, is pruning actually helps the tree grow. You know, taking away, because it was taking away from the tree growing up strong all these little shoots. It would take all the nourishment away from the main tree. Just need to catch up. But you have to do it correctly. Sometimes I do it correctly, sometimes I don't. I'm not perfect, but that's why it's awesome that God's doing it, because he knows exactly how to prune. But we could also look at pruning as possible trials. Because there are trials, and you will go through trials. And trials are not fun. You know, trials are not fun. But they do teach us lessons. Right? No matter how you look at it, they do teach us lessons. And we need to learn from them so that we can grow afterwards. And if we cut away the dead branches, you know, those dead branches hurt the whole tree or the whole plant. I'm sure you've gone by or walked by a house plant and there's dead leaves. It is better for that plant if you pluck those dead leaves off. Right? It keeps it more healthy. You know, in cutting away those branches, what are going the wrong way. Those branches were going the wrong way, because if you just let them go, more branches are going to go that way. More leaves, everything are going to go towards the wrong way. And then if you just keep on letting it go, you're going to have a bigger trouble later on. No plant produces fruit instantaneously. You know, usually it takes a season for it to be matured, or, you know, but fruit is a result of process. It's a process. And then once the fruit is on the vine, the vine dresser cleans it, you know, takes away or cleans off the bugs, any disease, so that it will continue to grow. God helps us produce fruit. So when the Bible is talking about producing fruit, and we've talked about this before, but what does that mean in our lives, producing fruit? Do we just, here's an apple right out of our hand? Or right out of our hand, boom. No, right? So what does it mean, CJ? Yeah, producing fruit. It does build your faith, yeah. But so it's something. So a tree produces, it's something what comes out of the tree. You know, the Bible talks about having good fruit and bad fruit, right? So you could say faith, but it definitely goes along with faith. Anybody else has something to help? Right. Basically, your good deeds are glorifying God. Anything that glorifies God, anything that you're helping others. So it's your good behavior, your attitude. You know, and if they always talk about judge a person by the fruit. So if you're doing something and good things are happening because of that, you're doing good. Right? You know, none of our fruit can earn us a way to heaven, though. You know, the righteousest thing we can do will never earn us a way to heaven. In Isaiah, you could keep your finger in John. I know I told you a little late, but Isaiah, you could find it again. Isaiah, we're going back in Isaiah 64. Chapter 64, verse 6. Elena, can you read that? Mm-hmm. So not to be discouraging, but to God, everything that we do is like a filthy rag. You know, if God didn't have grace on us, none of us would be clean. But that's the good news, is God does have grace. God gives us that grace. Let's now turn to Ephesians, towards the back, so to the right. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, 9, and 10. CJ, can you read that? 8 through 10. So God has that grace. And it's not a, you know, it shouldn't be anything discouraging that we can't do it on our own. Because that's actually a warning thing. If we start thinking, oh, well, look at all the good things I'm doing. Aren't I just great? Am I not a good Christian? If we start thinking that way, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. But it's because of God's grace. He gives us that gift. And it's not just a gift that, so it's not a gift we earn, it's a free gift. He loves us that much that he just gives it to whoever wants it. All you have to do is call on his name. You know, and all the good works that we will do, you know, God already knows, and he planned for us to do that good work. Yo, and we should do that good works. We should be doing that because we love him. Let's go back to John 15. I marked mine. Verse 4 and 5. John 15, 4 and 5. Adam, can you read that? John 15, John chapter 15, 4 and 5. Okay. So what does it mean? It looks like abide, and I would probably say it, and some people probably pronounce it that way, but it's abide, not a bid. It's abide. So what does abide mean? To abide. To follow. You got something different, Dylan? You don't say that. Follow, exactly. You know, to abide, to go along with. To have with, you know, to for that to dwell in you, to stay in you, to settle in you, to sink deep in you. So it's your very core is that same belief, is to abide. And for a branch to produce fruit, it needs to be attached to that vine, doesn't it? If you cut off that branch, what does it do? It does nothing. It withers, it dies, right? It does nothing. It will do nothing. You know, if we have Jesus in our heart, we will obey. And if we obey, we're going to love others. Right? And if we love others, we're going to do good things for others because we love them, right? Because we don't want to be mean to those ones what we love. You know, producing fruit without God, or without God, you know, we can't do it. We can't produce good fruit without God. We can produce fruit, and it's not going to be good, but we can't do it without His grace, without His help. Let's look at verse 6, Nick. So there's consequences to our actions. We know this, right? We shouldn't be surprised if our actions get us in trouble, right? Because we are ultimately responsible for our own actions. Right? It's not anybody else's fault. It's our choice. It's our choice. Just like disobeying God has a serious consequence. It's a serious consequence. You are taken away from God's presence. You know, dying and throwing into a fire. Now, it's like, well, where's the grace? But there is grace because God gives us that choice. But if we don't take it, there are consequences. It's just the way it is because He is a just God. And I mean, if you look at it, we all deserve that, but He gives us a pass if we want to take it. The choice is up to us. You know, we could look at Judas. You know, if you look at Judas and up until his betrayal, people, I'm sure, would say, look at him. He has to be one of the 12 biggest branches on that vine, right? Because he's right there with Jesus. But because of his actions, there was definitely consequences. Let's look at 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. Dylan, can you read that? You know, it's kind of come full circle, this scripture here, showing us that how to be strategic in a disciple is to love one another. You know, and it says, if you do that, you're going to be blessed because everything you ask and what you desire will be given. So you will be blessed. But in a sense, that is the checklist, is to love God. Just as Jesus loves us. You know, Jesus loved us first. And we're just repaying that kindness. You know, where love is, there is going to be good fruit. You know, and what that means, if there's good fruit, typically there's good seeds. And good seeds are great for people who are a little bit on the fence or don't know Jesus. Is you give them that opportunity to have everlasting life. I mean, Jesus, we don't save. We could plant seeds, which are awesome, and Jesus has to go and help it grow, just like He helps us grow. And we should always plant good seeds. Now, we're all traveling to the same destination. Hopefully, we all know that, right? We already booked our airlines. We're set for our destination. We're set for that destination. But our paths, each and every one of our paths in here, might be slightly different. You know, and it might be the same on certain parts, for sure. You know, we're all going through similar things, and we all need the same attributes that Jesus provides. But sometimes this path don't take us down this road and this path to the same road or over here. But we're only end up the same place, right? There is not a magical number of times we have to pray so that we can get to heaven. You know, that God doesn't set those standards. You know, the checklist is simply, number one, love God with all our hearts. And that's it. That's it. That's the checklist. To love God with all your heart. Because everything after that will naturally follow if you truly love him. Like I said, because if you love him, you're going to obey him. And if we obey, we're going to love others. Right? So we need to trust in that. Trust in God's guidance for our lives. In Isaiah, back in Isaiah 58, chapter 58, Brendan, are you there? I'm not quite here there, but chapter 58, verse 11. Verse 11 in Isaiah. You know, the Lord will guide us. He doesn't leave us. You know, we might feel in this world like we're going through a desert because it's hot. I mean, my mom loved the desert scenery, but it gets hot. It gets hot. And you have a desire for water. But he is that water. That cool water will quench our thirst. So just remember that. Trust in his guidance. Caleb, can you end us in prayer?